Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.
Hey, welcome to the Minnesota Vikings podcast. Day three of the draft is just wrapping up. Jay Nelson here from Vikings Entertainment Network. We've also got Tatum Everett, and we're going to wrap up the show with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's press conference here at the end of day three. So stick around, enjoy the show. Hey fans, this is Jay Nelson from the Vikings Entertainment Network here along with Tatum Everett. And we wanted to do a quick synopsis here for you guys since it is the wrap up of the 2024 NFL Draft. The Vikings were very busy here this weekend and they were able to go through on Saturday and add some additional picks. So let's bring in Tatum Everett here from Vikings Entertainment Network, who is also in Detroit this weekend for the NFL Draft. Tatum, welcome to the show. And how did things go for you this weekend?
Yeah, things were going great. It was a very, very interesting Thursday. We obviously skipped out on the rest of the draft and went to JJ McCarthy's watch party, which was really fun. It was great. Got a chance to talk to JJ in Dallas on Friday. Awesome guys. They were just super down to earth, kind of the like old soul, wise beyond their years cliches. I found them to be super mature and can totally see why they would be targets for this staff as culture fits. So Friday was pretty busy with interviews. We interviewed KOC, Wes Phillips, and Brian Flores. Those are all on Vikings.com or the Vikings app. And So we had a really, really busy Friday. However, you know, at night, I finally got to go home and just actually sleep, which was wonderful.
A luxury.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't have thought so. But so today you wake up rested and it gets going right out of the gate with the fourth round. And you kind of get to see what other pieces the staff is looking for after a very, very quiet Friday.
Yeah, the fourth round for the Vikings at least kicked off at pick 108 with Kyrie Jackson. He's cornerback out of Oregon this year, but he previously was at Alabama. His press conference that he had is should be posted here on all the different Vikings Entertainment Network apps and locations, so feel free to go check that out. One thing that was really interesting with his discussion with the media, they kind of asked about, you know, his journey and where he got to, and he made a comment that he was previously working a deli job and won Employee of the Month and then was trying to figure out if he was going to go back to football or not. And so after winning Employee of the Month and then also, taking a stab at esports, he decided he was going to keep going with football. And I think he made the right choice.
Yeah, it's working out for him pretty well, Jay. I think the one thing that really stuck out to me about the players that were drafted today, the five of them, were just their stories, how unique all of their backgrounds are. I feel like one thing that always usually continues to impress me is the quality of person this staff likes to draft. When Kyrie Jackson got in there, I just thought he brought such a great lighthearted energy. You could tell he was very excited about being a part of the Vikings. He's also someone who's on a top 30 visit, which is another very similar thread through a lot of these guys. You know, I think, what is it, like
three of the selections today were top 30 visit people. And I'm curious to see, as far as the free agent signings and stuff like that as well, how many of those players that were left from top 30 may maybe get signed here by the team. But yeah, that was definitely something that, you know, they got some extra time with him. And I think personality wise and especially size wise, this guy definitely fits what they're looking for.
Yeah, the size thing's really interesting, Jay, because, you know, it's listed as he could be one of the largest corners or tallest corners in the league if he were to, you know, make the roster and do all that stuff. I thought the most interesting thing I saw was a tweet from Jim Nagy, who is the executive director of the Senior Bowl. He said that he had a trusted Alabama coaching staff source, which was where Kyrie Jackson was for a year before Oregon. And the staff source said that Kyrie was the most talented guy in the DB room at the time.
Wow.
Now, he wasn't starting. He was playing in more of a reserve role. But this is a room that had Brian Branch, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinsky, Jordan Battle, Eli Ricks. I mean, guys whose names are going in the first round. And knowing that, like, that's there. He has a relationship with Durante Jones, who coached him in the Senior Bowl. It is pretty fascinating what Brian Flores will be able to do with this guy. Reading a couple of draft profiles on him, he is best as a press man corner. He is also very productive on special teams, which we all know is going to change a lot this year with kickoff and stuff. But with a guy his size, you know, he's blocked kicks before, field goals and point afters and things like that. So I think there could be a lot to be excited about when you think of Kyree Jackson and the versatility he can play in both the defense and special teams.
For sure. Yeah. I look forward to seeing him when he gets in the building here and just see, you know, what they want to do and how they want to utilize them and just kind of where he seems to fit, because they always seem to do that. Like you said, whether it's a defensive room or special teams, a guy like that with that kind of length and that kind of athleticism, it seems like is going to be a great fit for what they're trying to do. Moving on here to the sixth round at pick 177, they went with the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Walter Rouse. That was the part of the Jacksonville trade that we had. He's a 6'6", 313-pound offensive tackle. Yeah, that's it from Oklahoma. He was a Big 12 honorable mention at left tackle this season. And previous to the season, he was actually at Stanford for 4 years. So the guy's got some smarts. Looking forward to seeing, you know, kind of how they utilize a guy like that too, because there have been some questions of, you know, trying to figure out depth, trying to figure out some of the positions of where they could fill in there. And there's been some changeover over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, 6'6", 313, I'm sure they are licking their chops trying to figure out, you know, how quickly they can get this guy in and what his specialty is going to be for this offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill are solidified as starters in those positions, and they're two of the best in the league. And you are interested in seeing what Walter Rouse can do and what they plan on doing with him. I think you saw it this year and even the last two seasons, how important offensive line depth is. I think it was Ryan Grigson in his press conference right after the picks. And he said, you know, you only go as far as your offensive line takes you when you're in offense. And so this is a really, really smart pick. He could be looked at as more of a swing tackle at the next level. But I think the most impressive part about him is just, you know, how intelligent he is. I think that's a characteristic that the staff likes in their offensive linemen. They want someone who is smart and can play the position and know all of the intricacies of offensive line, probably the most difficult position to play as far as maybe besides quarterback, where you really have to know what you're doing. But he, you know, chose Stanford for academic reasons, not even thinking about the NFL. And then around his sophomore year, was like, you know, maybe I could play at the next level. So he transferred to Oklahoma to make that more of a option. So he's similar to Kyrie's journey in like a sense of this last season was a really big improvement season for him. Yeah. And so I think that's really what kind of put him on the map as far as being able to be drafted. Because he really wasn't on anyone's radar when he was at Stanford.
Yeah, another guy, though, that I think here in the sixth round that actually was on a bunch of radars. And I know that the Vikings were extremely excited when they were able to make this pick. At pick number 203, they went with the kicker out of Alabama named Will Richard. That pick was originally from the Jets trade, but this guy is somebody that's very, very interesting because he was 55 of 55 in extra points. He was 22 of 25 in field goals, 5 of 5 from 50 plus, and the all-time FBS Division I scoring leader. So we went from having no Alabama players to a bunch of people with Alabama ties on this team. I think this selection here at 203 with Will Richard, this is going to be a very interesting one to watch in camp.
For sure. Yeah. I think it's like, I think of the Mean Girls scene when they ask, has anyone been personally victimized by Regina George? And I feel like I've been personally victimized by Will Richard. Yeah. I mean, just an incredible, incredible talent as far as kicking goes. I think the reason that they chose him was just his consistency and his mechanics. I think what Steve Sabo was talking about is that every time they watched him, his tape, because they obviously have lots of tape to watch on him, he was kicking center net all the time. And he's played and he has 6 of 7 playoff appearances. He was 6 of 7, excuse me, in playoff appearances. So he has been in high pressure situations, national championship games, the closest thing you can really get to an NFL game at his level. And he actually stayed an extra year at Alabama, unfortunately for us LSU fans, because he wanted to improve his kickoff and his 50-plus yard field goal attempts. And they said they saw, you know, the staff said that they saw a difference in his kickoffs. And he was 5 of 5 from 50-plus last season. So it's really exciting. I mean, and you know what? Who would have thought that we'd be talking about a kicker competition at training camp? Because you draft Flor Carter, then you have John Parker Romo, who we just signed in this offseason, an XFL kicker who's super talented. So that'll be something a bit, you know, I might have my eye on during training camp.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens, especially given the new rules that they're at kicking and for special teams. So having a guy like John Parker Romo, who's used to those rules, but then also having, you know, a guy with the pedigree that you know, we just picked up here, I think both of those guys are going to be duking it out here over the next couple months. So it's going to be a very fun thing to watch there in camp. Moving on to the 7th round, we went at pick number 230 with Michael Juergens, a center from Wake Forest. 6'4", 311, had 46 starts since 2020. And he was also a guy that we brought in with the top 30 visit. So again, you're seeing another addition here at the offensive line. I think a guy like Juergens is going to be somebody that not only is going to be someone they're looking at for, you know, depth position here, but also just to see how versatile he is there within that interior offensive line. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it just feels like they're trying to get all these players who are way smarter than anyone else in the building. He's another guy. He graduated school early from Wake Forest and then went on to get his MBA during his time there. And so he's, you know, has 2 degrees coming to work for the Vikings. I think that you know, I again, reading some of his draft profiles, he is productive and instinctive, a smart player. I think that the most interesting journey for him has been he played center for most of his college career, right? So like he was selfless enough to switch to guard. And so he can do a little bit of both, which I know we know the staff loves that versatility. And according to PFF, he was the number 1 rated guard for run blocking last year and tied for number 4 overall, which, again, very interesting that, you know, you can play center for most of your career, make that switch and still be one of the top in the country. So, yeah, I think he's another guy who's really, really super happy to be here. He said he knows Walter because they're from the same area. So a lot of like guys in these classes seem to know each other from like just being in like the football community, it feels like.
Yeah. And you know, for a guy like him, especially if he's got that background playing center and guard, I mean, especially at center, you literally have to know the entire offense because you have to call protections. You have to make all those adjustments. So for a guy like him, you know, being able to be versatile that way, plus having had the center experience, that's a huge deal. So it'll be nice to, again, get him in the building, see what he's got and be able to, you know, move from there. And then wrapping up with our 7th pick here for the draft, 2 picks later at pick number 232, Levi Drake Rodriguez, defensive tackle from Texas A&M Commerce. That pick came from the Houston trade. This guy's 6'1", 269 pounds. He was first team all Southland Conference this past season with 7.5 tackles for loss and 5.5 sacks within 10 games. This is a guy that was here for a top 30 visit, and his personality is incredibly infectious. His meeting with the media was very, very fun to watch, and I think this guy is going to be kind of a space eater a little bit defensively with that defensive tackle position. And I'm really excited to see what this guy can do here when defensive line coach and the defensive line group really gets a hold of him and can, you know, put him through the paces. What are your thoughts?
This one is the most intriguing to me because I just, you hear the names come out and you start to do some research and read around and listen to the pressers. And like, I couldn't stop reading about this guy. I was just so intrigued by his story, how much, you know, I think Kwesi said it best, scouting at its purest form. He called it the B side of the tape. You know, you're looking at, you're not necessarily going after the guy that everyone's talking about. So you're trying to find these diamonds in the rough. And it was our local Southwest scout, Blaine Grammer. He was looking around, caught this guy and brought it to Grigson. Grigson was excited about it and told Kwesi, and they all just kind of started to really fall in love with his potential. Again, Dane Brugler does a really good job of profiling a lot of the draft prospects. And in his notes, he said, you know, he's still in a developmental process, but that he has an athletic urgency and promising hand use. He his game is built on quickness and a relentless, violent temperament. And, you know, anytime I see the words quickness, relentless, or violent temperament or something along those lines, I think of Brian Flores. And so I'm really, really excited to get him in the building. He just seems like a high character guy. And like Jay said, if you haven't seen his press conference, I highly recommend you go watch it. It really will turn your day upside down.
I kind of feel like this guy's going to be the infectious spark plug for that defense, especially for the rookie group this year. And again, it's going to be fun to see what happens here. He's a seventh round pick. But across the board, I think they were really excited to be able to bring this guy in. So summarizing it here, we were able to go through in the draft, got a quarterback, a kicker, a cornerback, outside linebacker, defensive tackle, center, and offensive tackle. So today's the picks on the first day there on Thursday, both those guys were actually juniors at the age of 21. But then everybody here on day three of the draft were five seniors. And it's going to be really interesting now, not only this season, but the next future seasons to see how, you know, all these different people that have stayed in school a little bit longer from the COVID years, et cetera, how that kind of, you know, changes a little bit. But overall, I think the tone, at least on day one, was you went and got some high profile prospects there at kind of a younger age. And then the last day here, you were able to bring in some guys that have some serious experience in college. So overall, to me, it seemed like, you know, they knew exactly what they were going for. It'll be fun to see what they were able to sign here with the undrafted free agent class.
But you can overall, You can actually go to Vikings.com and check those out. They've agreed to terms with 17 new ones.
There you go. So there's 17 more players.
We won't go into depth in those, but some of the ones I think that people, there's two names that kind of jump out to me that'd be really, really exciting would be Gabriel Murphy and outside linebacker from UCLA, or Jashawn Jones out of Maryland. I know he was there for a top 30 visit, kind of like you referenced earlier. Jay, I know you probably know a lot more of those names than I did because you made those graphics for them. But but those two kind of caught my eye as potential guys to look out for on those undrafted free agent lists. But that will be on Vikings.com or the Viking app if you're looking for that full list of undrafted free agents.
And perfect segue here just to for the fans here to make sure go check out not only the Vikings app, which if you haven't checked it out lately, it's been revamped. There's a ton of new features. Yeah, it's awesome. There's a ton of new features, all the video clips. We've got in-depth write-ups, the new podcast tab for easy access to the stuff you're listening to currently. And then, you know, there's also a ton more coming from Craig Peters and Lindsay Young, our staff writers, with in-depth breakdowns of all the picks here this weekend. And then we've also, as Tatum referenced earlier, the fact of all the one-on-ones that she did with JJ McCarthy, Dallas Turner, and the coordinators, everybody that way. We've also got all the weekend press conferences from Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, our coordinators, the director of scouting, Mike Shilton, and other draft personnel, plus the virtual media events with our newly drafted players and more. And finally, the NFL Network coverage and commentary of our selections, including their discussion with head coach Kevin O'Connell about our philosophy behind our trade-ups here this weekend and more to come. So what we're going to do here is we're going to leave you with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's final draft wrap-up here with the media. Go ahead, like I said, check out everything on Vikings.com and Vikings Entertainment Network here from this weekend. Tatum, you want to give a little wrap-up here quick before we go?
I don't know, Jay. I feel like you did a fantastic job, but big shout out to the Vikings Entertainment Network and everyone on the Vikings staff and everyone we work for. I mean, it really has been an incredible draft weekend. I know a lot of work goes into making all this happen. And, you know, between the draft party and, you know, the behind the scenes content, the one-on-ones, the pressers, it takes a village to make this happen. And so I will have to say, just I'm really proud of this team. So I hope you guys enjoyed our draft coverage as much as I did, because, you know, this is only the beginning. And now we get to, you know, we talked about this for months and months and months. And now we get to pick apart the decisions. So that's kind of the new thing we'll be doing.
Yeah, basically we just got done with Christmas Day and you get to go play with your toys now. So it's going to be fun to see what happens here for the next couple months. This is, you know, we always talk about kind of the stages of the off season and the kickoff of these different major pieces. This is another one of those major milestone events here for the off season. So again, getting into mini camps and all that other kind of stuff. And before you know it, we're going to be talking training camp. So looking forward to seeing what they got.
That made me just kind of go, whoa.
Welcome to the summer. Looking forward to seeing, you know, what happens here once the guys get in the building. But for now, let's leave you with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's press conference. So thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys here later in the week.
Yeah, obviously, you know, yesterday we kept you guys waiting for a little bit, but today we, you know, we obviously were able to add to the team. Really excited with what we did. We're able to add Kyrie Jackson, our first pick today. Cornerback, really aggressive mindset, you know, play press man. You know, really good insight we got from one of our former coaches, Alik Terry, about the person and different things like that and how he would fit in. So just really excited to add him and what the mentality he can bring to that room. Next was Walter Rouse, actually somebody we really enjoyed throughout the process watching. Played at Stanford and then transferred to Oklahoma. Really just impactful player in the run game. Really an explosive athlete, we think is good in pass protection. Took a big jump from 22 to 23 in his pass protection ability. We think this guy is the limit for him potential-wise to play right tackle, potentially kick inside and be just a versatile piece for us. You got Will Reichard, you know, somebody we identified, and you're always nervous. There's a kicker run that's going to happen. It depends if it's the fifth round, sixth round, or seventh round. And we were lucky enough to start at this time. Somebody with a great mentality, really accurate kicker at the collegiate level, obviously played in a lot of big games at one of the best schools doing it. And so really excited to add him. Michael Juergens, again, somebody, you know, that we added again from Wake Forest, all-conference player. At guard, but also was you know, played center the year before. You know, funny story about him. You know, when he was first delivered to me, I was told he was a center, but this year he played guard, and I hadn't really gone back to watch. And I loved him at guard, and you know, obviously you're projecting from guard to center. And then the person who recommended me didn't know he had actually moved to guard this year. And so two people who watched him in two different positions, you know, just really love the guy. You talk about a combination of process and different things like that. Incredibly smart, analytical, face of the program type guy. We're really excited to add him to that room. Then finally, Levi Drake Rodriguez, somebody brought in the top 30, immediately caught fire in this building. Just a positive force of energy, just a really growth mindset oriented person. He's showing me, you know, what he does on a daily basis to get better and improve. A really accomplished pass rusher for that age. Was a former baseball player and then just, you know, transferred a level up to play football and really took a love for pass rush. He is an exceptionally gifted pass rusher, has added weight since his college season. We think will improve in the run game as well. And we're excited to what he can potentially bring to this team. But generally, you know, obviously, we always say we like to add players with talent, ability to improve, develop, and get and you know be the best version of themselves in our culture. We think we did that. With that, I will welcome any questions.
Kwesi, it can be hard to evaluate college kickers to the NFL. Did you feel like Will's sample size, the fact that he stayed the extra year, like how much does that help in terms of the projection from him to the next level?
Yeah, so, you know, our special teams coaches have done some studies, you know, actually, so we have two concurrent processes, right? We have our special teams coaches who do their process, and then we have our football quantitative methods, my affectionately known, called the Mathletes here, and they do their own process. And the, you know, both of them came with a list of a couple guys that are pretty good. And he was one of them, obviously identified him. And to your point, the sample size does help, right? You're just getting a bigger sample to obviously observe what you're trying to observe. The key thing is to really adjust for context, distance, situation, you know, different elements, and just kind of see where guys end up and how does that relate to the NFL. That's one of those great positions where, whether it's college or different leagues, as you've seen in the NFL, it's kind of a clean transition. They're kicking a ball through an upright. And you want to, you know, kind of learn different things from that.
Well, you see, it seems like by the time you guys are all said and done with it, the roster is going to have, you know, quite a different look than it's had. And it seems like a lot of competition in a lot of spots where just positions aren't settled and starting jobs aren't necessarily wired to one person. Is that just a function of 2 years and roster turnover, or is kind of the point of this whole thing to just give yourselves a lot of options at a lot of places.
Yeah, I think it's both. It's you know, it's giving yourself options, flexibility, but it's also competition is why we're here. Every year trying to get better. The people, you know, I'll never forget the championship people I've been around. You know, we'd get a good player and they'd always be like, well, yeah, he's just a, I want better. And, it, you know, it's always just that non-satisfaction. And that's not just from a player basis. That's from a process basis. That's what I ask of myself. That's what Kevin asks of himself. So that's really the mindset we have, and we're excited about it. We're excited to get these guys out in the grass and see the competition that you talked about.
Wait, see, Gerson kind of talked about like the process of Blaine bringing Levi kind of to, like, can you just walk us through how that even happened?
Yeah, you know, that's scouting at its purest form. It's one of my favorite things. We have a lot of nicknames for it, but like day three, these types of things, that's like for the music lovers, it's like the B side of the tape. You know, it's not the headline single. It's, to me, it's Bicycle Queen, my favorite song. It's Bicycle. It's not the song that you might think other people would like. And it's really watching that player. You know, these guys are driving 6 hours, you know, haven't seen their family. And then they drive to this school and they see something that looks different. And then they get excited, and then they call their college director, and the college director tells Grigson. Grigson is probably the most excitable person I've ever met in my entire life when it comes to football players. Then he is now in my office, in my front door, asking me to stop whatever I'm doing to watch this player. So that's kind of how that chain goes up the building, and it's a really fun thing to watch. And then we have these meetings where we have our scouts present their players, like, who's the guy you really want to get? And he was one of the players presented. And so, you know, going there late, we had a chance to maybe trade up and lose a pick. And we were thinking, well, we want to get both of our targets, which we ended up getting both of them. And the person was like, well, we can't lose out on Levi Drake because of all that, you know, all that's come to it. It's not saying you do things for morale or culture or things like that, but you want to reward the hard work that all the people put into it. And we think he's a talented player, growth mindset player. Like, I can't wait to get him in this building.
Wait, see, at the beginning of the I'm sorry, Alec, if you, go ahead.
No, you talked. I mean, you mentioned math, please. I just wonder, like, holistically, how much from what you guys are doing analytically is similar or different from in this process from what you started when you first got to Minnesota?
Yeah, I would say not completely different, just grows. Every year you kind of look at it, you tear it down, you build it back up, you add new inputs. You know, now we've got 3 years of time together. So all the scouting system, the data that we started collecting when I first got here, now you have a couple years of data to sample size. Collar's point, it's not 10 years, but it's two. And you start to get some initial things like, you know, initial readings and signals potentially. We have a lot of different things we do now. Really, to me, it's just the mindset, though. It's you know, people so easily tear players down. Right. Every player, there is no perfect player. And it's really trying to get people to understand just because a player's not perfect doesn't mean he can't be good or average. And, you know, that's how you win in the league. Obviously, you need your great players, but you need those, your adequate players, your numbers 30 through 45 to be just marginally better than everybody else's. And that comes from a mindset. That comes from the story you just told about Levi Drake. That comes from a lot of different things. So really, it's just breeding that mindset in the organization, and they've had it before, but it's doing it in the way that, you know, we do it now. It's just really been taking hold.
Wait, so in January, you said that you knew this was a big offseason for you and for the organization, and I realize it's not over yet, but free agency we've had for the most part in the draft now, and I'm just curious if you feel like you guys have met that moment.
I know we worked to that moment. Everything my mom ever told me was about put everything you can into it and the process will take care of itself. And I know we did that. We left everything on the field. We looked under every rock. I'm not sure I've ever been more tired, maybe outside of the birth of my child. But I think I'm so proud of the group and what we put into it. The smiles on their faces, the names on these sheets, the things that get to go up on the depth chart right now are the results of the hard work. And everybody in this organization should be proud of what they did. I can tell you that I believe we met the moment from a process standpoint. Results are what they are, and we will be judged by them. But from an effort, from a planning, from an executing a vision standpoint, I do believe we did.
Kwesi, whether it's Kyrie kind of almost quitting football and coming back to it, or some of the stories you hear about Levi Drake, do those things when you guys are going through the pre-draft process, I know that doesn't dictate whether you're going to draft somebody, but how do you factor all of that in, just what makes a guy tick in terms of, you know, how much you gravitate to that player and how much you might be interested in him, even if The football side of it is one piece of it. And I guess how much of the person and how much it makes him tick.
No, completely.
Goes into these evaluations.
I think it's a lot of it. You know, we paint broad brushes here, right? So you start with just a general, hey, how does it look on field? What do your scouts say? What do your coaches say? That kind of gets people into your major groups, right? Let's call it different parts of the board. But then within those parts of the board, you're trying to figure out who is standing really close to each other in line is going to cut the other person, right? And a lot of that just is going to the person. You read about what they've done through adversity. Who do they look admire? What types of things do they believe a culture should have? Just different things, the feedback, things you get from the coaches they have had. And ultimately, there is a lot of indecision in this, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I can tell you for certain because somebody did something 3 years ago that it's going to mean that they're going to make it in the NFL. But if you do it on the margins, just ever so slightly, bet on people who fit a certain profile, who maybe were loyal to their school or different things like that, or chose to go to a different school for a bigger challenge, different little things like that, different stories. You know, if you do that 100 times, you hope that you come out, you know, two or three players better than everybody else.
Quasi, just kind of as you sit here today, and you reflect on, you know, day one where you get JJ in Dallas, and day two where you kind of have to wait, and day three, like, how do you just reflect on the draft class as a whole and how you think this group of players can help kind of push the franchise forward?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, we do simulation exercise, right? So we kind of go through these, and I always, you know, it's, I won't call it manipulation, but there's certain things I'm trying to prepare everybody for, and even myself emotionally to go through. And so I prepared everybody for a trade up and what that's like. And when you have maybe less picks or further back picks, and what's that feel like? And, you know, as scouts, as a scouting organization, you always want more picks, right? We're always so excited to add, you know, players and different things like that. But we continue to grow as you do these things, you learn and you see things. We ended up with a lot of the same players we were going to get, you know, with the picks that, you know, we might have lost in some of the trade-ups early. And you ended up with two of your main targets early. So, you know, we grade every scenario that we practice based on how happy you were. And this is one of our better scenarios that we graded. So, you know, by that metric, I'd say I feel really great about it. We've added players across different position groups, just experience levels, upside. We're pretty excited about this group, but all that is just, you know, a name on a chalkboard right now. We got to go out there and put the work in.
Wait, so why do you think you're so willing to admit that it is an uncertain process?
That's kind of my background, but also, you know, I think the best people that I admire or look up to are kind of humble and hold themselves accountable. And when you hold yourselves accountable to results, you can get better. If you treat it like this thing that, you know, now let me be clear. When I say uncertainty, I don't think it's completely out of our control, because then you shouldn't work hard to do it. You should just coin flip. I do believe there is some way of being 60-40. But I do think that's the best way to look at it. And if you study your losses, if you're okay with the fact that you can't control everything, it allows you to just kind of think big picture and understand and that you're going to make bets and some of them aren't going to go okay. And it doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. You know, one of the hardest things about trading from my old life is when you're wrong, people assign your self-worth, you know, to like that outcome or that day. And that's the best thing about that job as a teacher, is that's not true. And so, you know, uncertainty can happen. You can strike out one time, you can miss a trade, you can miss on a player. It means you get up the next day and you work on your process and you do it 100 times and hopefully you stand taller than everybody else 65% of the time, 60% of the time, whatever it is. That's just kind of how I don't know. I don't know the day that clicked in my mind, but that's just kind of how I am.
Well, see, I think since you got here, the quarterback position has been something you've been asked externally about. I'm sure you guys have talked about it more than as much as anything inside. And I'm just curious, like, is there any significance in your mind that, you know, whether it's not a moot discussion anymore, but that there's been a significant addressing of that question after this much time?
Yeah, I would tell you that I am, but I'm also would tell you that it's both what we did this offseason. You know, I think JJ obviously threw the moon about not just as a player, but somebody to come into this building and, you know, have ownership over this building. Like, you know, Kevin and I always talk about a championship mindset, being people to carry the torch for the culture. I think he's going to be a culture torchbearer as well. And then what we were able to do with Sam this offseason, an incredibly talented player in his own right. We're excited for him, the opportunity he's going to have. But, yeah, to your point, it is something that we've been planning a long time. We put in a lot of work, and the result of it is here. But now all those plans that we've talked about since I first interviewed Kevin and all our two-year conversations of now how do you raise a quarterback and all those things, now we shift to that part of the plan, and I can't wait for that. We'll have discussions. There'll be ups and downs, but you know, I know that we always talk about buy-in being the biggest thing. You know, we got to be locked arm in arm. So when he throws that pick in OTAs, that we're just laughing at each other. Ha ha! You know, it's just kind of that's what this what it takes. That me and him are okay with it. There's no finger pointing. This is just how we're gonna go, and we're gonna support this person and get the best version of him and see where that takes us.
Wait, is it kind of tangentially related, but like from a cap and just draft capital, I mean, does it feel like there's been a pretty good transition just in some ways, like an overhaul, just given the where you guys stand right now?
Overhaul, that's a better term than I used when I first got here. Maybe that's what I should have, the term I should have used. No, I think, again, it's we did have a plan to kind of how we wanted to shape the roster, see what it looks like. And I think if you look big picture at it, you'll see the what we were trying to intend and do. You know, we're happy we've accomplished it. You know, it's funny when you make plans, everybody always wants specifics and you can't really give them. There's just, you know, the future is going to have options and opportunities and you got to strike on them when you can. And look, you need a little luck. You need a trade partner at certain things. You need to get to the pick 23. You need different things like that. And so, but you know, looking back on it, we're really excited with what we were able to do, and that job will never stop. Though now the next part of the 2-year vision starts, and you keep going there, and you hunt like you did the 2 years before it.
Cody, so going back to the quarterback, and you know, like you said, so much time and effort went into this process and getting JJ. Like, are you able to enjoy this moment, like considering everything that went into it? Because you also said in that same conversation, now the next step starts, and now you got to keep, building on what you have.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I think we have a little, I don't know if it's karaoke, but we have a post-draft party coming up here soon, and I'm going to get to see my wife for the first time, I feel like, in a couple weeks. So I will take a moment to sit back and enjoy all the stuff that we've been able to do. But I promise you, tomorrow morning, I'll probably have my Excel sheet open, thinking about things and looking at it and going from that standpoint. Again, and not to keep bringing it back, but Kevin's won a championship, and I know he's wired that way. After he wins, he's in his office in the morning looking at the 3 play calls he would have back, and he sees me after a free agency period, and I'm in there trying to get better. That's just kind of how we're wired. It's a different way, but that there's kind of a joy in that, the journey of trying to consistently get better. And just at the end of the day, when you get to that final goal, it's funny, when I was talking with JJ about his championship run at Michigan, he said the hardest part was when it was over, because it was so much about the journey and all they had went through, the ups and downs, and it was almost he didn't want to say sad, but like, it just, it was the finality of it, even though it ended in the championship, because he was so appreciative of the journey. And I think that's kind of how we look at things. You can appreciate the journey, but you're excited for the next one. And that's kind of how we'll look at that next 2-year period. And it won't take too long, though. Again, our goal is to win at the highest level. We got a competitive league. Our division's very good. This league is very good, and we know that. And so we got to be on our best, and we're going to give the league our best.
I feel like I need to ask what your karaoke go-to is.
Oof. Oh, man, this is embarrassing. I don't know that I can actually say that. I used to have
there's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong. I used to have an O-Town. What song was that? It was an O-Town song I used to sing with a buddy of mine when I was at Stanford grad school. I don't really do it very much anymore. But I don't know if the GM's supposed to be up there very much. We've got a couple great singers here, though. I'll let them hold the mic.
Did O-Town have more than one song that anybody knew?
What's that?
It was just like, did O-Town have more than one song that anybody knew?
No, they did. Like they did. What was it? Was it All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
All or Nothing. That was it. Yeah, All or Nothing. I think that was what it was.
Google R always comes through. in a serious question, we almost made it through the entire draft weekend without asking you about Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And just curious where things stand there. And you've talked periodically about in the offseason. Is there any significant update that's going with that?
Yeah, we continue to have great dialogue with their representatives, and the process is ongoing. We did say, hey, this a couple days, let's just, the draft's coming. Obviously, they have players that they represent. We have our process, and either way, whenever we sign him, we want Justin to have his whole week. You know, that friend that has a birthday that takes the month. I think Justin would deserve his whole month if we signed a contract to celebrate it. So, you know, we're excited to work towards it. We're going to keep going. You can't have all these plans. We talk about all these visions and not talk about the King linchpin. So we're going to keep working towards that end goal.
Have you guys been able to touch base with him just to get his reaction to his new quarterback?
Yeah, I believe they talked, and obviously Kevin and him have talked. I've been preoccupied, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But I know they have this. They share the same representation, so I'm sure they know each other. And you'll see. We always joke it's kind of like the playground when you just show up at rookie minicamp and you start throwing a football around. And these guys know. They guys know what it looked like. So I'm excited to see what they think of JJ and their other teammates.
87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lando Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filter, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit MyPureLux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.mypurelux.com/Vikings.